Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All of Matthew chapter 1. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, picking up at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, He took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Lord, we thank you once again for the wonderful gift, the powerful and blessed gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear from you, to hear from heaven anytime we open your word and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of wisdom, counsel, guidance, grace, and life, and so much more. With every passing day, help us, Lord, to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us afresh to be faithful hearers and doers of your powerful word. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how you have shown us mercy, for how you offer so much grace and mercy to us through Jesus on the cross, through resurrection life, through the Holy Spirit, through empowering us, through all the things that you give us. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you for how generous and kind you have been. And Heavenly Father, I just want to ask, I want to walk in repentance right now with all of our listeners, that we could look to you and say, "I'm sorry for how we have not given back from what you have given us." Heavenly Father, help us to be better stewards, because you've given us so much. And Heavenly Father, we want to love as you have loved us. Thank you so much. And we just pray that we'd continue to grow in your kingdom. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're blessed and honored to have once again with us Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a kingdom warrior for Christ. And Pastor Kelly shared a very powerful testimony and journey in coming to know the Lord and then serving the Lord in the capacity she's serving him. So, Pastor Kelly, great to have you once again.
Thank you for having me.
Honored to have you. And I'm going to ask if you'll take time once again, if you'll reintroduce yourself to our listeners. Some may recall when you were on with us before, but many may have missed that broadcast or maybe don't remember. So would you take a few moments to further introduce yourself? And then we want to invite you to share your journey with the Lord.
Certainly. My name is Kelly Payne, and I live all the way over in Washington State. I am an ordained pastor, but I work full-time for the Washington State Legislature as well. I started my journey as a homeless methamphetamine addict and became Christian in the midst of some really difficult circumstances. And I love that chapter, Matthew chapter 1, that you so eloquently spoke at the beginning of this time together, because it's one of my most favorite chapters of the Bible. And if you recall from the last time I was here, one of the reasons why I turned to drugs in my life is I didn't really have a great family. And I came to Washington State searching for my birth family. I'd been rejected by my adoptive family. And when I became Christian, God told me to memorize Matthew chapter 1. And I thought, what a ridiculous thing to ask somebody to do. I started to do it, but it was, of course, very difficult. All those names are not easy to pronounce, let alone to memorize. But God kept promising me as I prayed it that he would reveal to me something so amazing, some secret of my heart that I had never unlocked before. And I prayed that chapter for months and months and months with tears in my eyes, asking God what that revelation was. And after a very long time and a lot of wrestling in prayer, and remember, at this time I was homeless, I was walking the streets, I was praying this chapter out loud on the streets, people thought I was crazy, praying this chapter over and over and over again, when finally the Lord spoke to me and he said, he called me daughter, as he always does, and he said, "You have always searched for family, but I'm your family, and that chapter is your family. Your grandmother is Sarah, your great-grandmother's Rebecca, and your grandfather is Isaac and David, and all the way to Jesus. You're my family." So, sorry, I get a little teary-eyed when I think about that. Mm-hmm. Love that chapter.
Powerful.
Today,
thank you for sharing
I cannot pray that chapter with without crying. Still one of my most favorite prayers.
Would you take time now, Pastor Kelly, to pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to share with them through the broadcast today, that they would receive all the Holy Spirit wants to give them in the way of encouragement and ministry today?
So, Lord, we thank you that we have been given ears to hear by your Spirit. So I pray that you would open hearts to receive your word and your message today, Lord. And all that you have for us, Lord, is so good that you would help us to grab a hold of that which you have laid before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Kelly, would you take time to back up just a little bit and share about some of the work and the life you lived before you became homeless, though, because it's fascinating just some of the things that you did even as a young adult. Would you begin to share there?
Certainly. So I moved to Europe right after college, worked in Italy and Germany, and eventually ended up a contractor for the Department of Defense and the United Nations during the Bosnian-Serbian War. And I returned from that conflict back to Washington, D.C., and worked for some time in a communications company, and eventually ended up in Washington State when I met a portion of my birth family. So living in Bosnia and Serbia during that time, I got to see war up close and personal. There was a genocide. If any of your listeners recall that history, the U.S. went there in coalition with the United Nations to clean up literally thousands of people that had been slaughtered. It was really a horrible, horrible war. And when I returned to Washington, D.C., shortly after that, 9/11 happened. So it was kind of surreal to come from what was essentially a war zone to war in my own nation. So very surreal. I wish I had been Christian during that time. I was not. I was a firm believer in my own strength at that time. Unfortunately, it took a lot of hard knocks for God to help me see that he was always there.
Now, also, too, a critical part of your story that you shared before, of course, was just you're adopted, and that, I guess that was a part of the challenge in the midst of your journey. Would you share just a little bit about that before you go further there?
Certainly. So I was adopted, and a family that was fairly dysfunctional, unfortunately. And so I always had this dream of my birth family. And after my mother, my adoptive mother, passed away, I thought, oh, I'll find my birth mother. And it happened very quickly. The adoption agency got me her information. I met her. But unfortunately, she rejected me again and didn't really want anything to do with me. And that pain, without having Jesus there to heal it, is what essentially led me to drugs. I don't lay blame. I take full accountability for my own choices. Mm-hmm. But without having Jesus, I needed that pain to stop. And I speak this in sermons a lot. I don't want to incentivize anybody to take drugs, but drugs do deaden your pain. The problem is that it destroys everything else in your life. And that's essentially what happened, to the point where I ended up homeless and living on the streets, lost custody of my daughter, of course, ended up in jail several times. I was beaten, sexually assaulted.
I'm going to jump in right there, Pastor Kelly, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Pastor Kelly Payne, a kingdom warrior for Christ. We'll be right back.
There was a blind man on the roadside, and he heard a commotion, yeah. It was Jesus passing by with a crowd, and it stirred his emotion.
Fred Hammond with Please Don't Pass Me By. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a kingdom warrior for Christ, and she's sharing her journey in coming to know and serve the Lord. Pastor Kelly, if you'll pick up where you left off, please.
Certainly. So I think I left off with, I had went through several experiences when I was homeless, including being kidnapped and assaulted. That man who did that to me spent about 4 years in prison for doing so. And I want to pause there for just a quick moment. And after years of working with the homeless, I have to say that my experiences are so mild in comparison to so many of the other stories I've heard from women and men who live on the streets. And a lot of really bad things happen out there. But I will say that in the midst of all of that tribulation and all of that hardship and all of those really difficult things, it was during that time period that I ended up in jail and prayed and asked God to help me and to have Jesus help me. And I believe that was my prayer of salvation when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And so all those terrible circumstances, so very difficult, and yet I found Jesus in the midst of it all. So if I could pause and pray for any listeners out there, especially women. I heard an alarming statistic recently that 40% of women will experience a violent episode at least one time in their life, and one out of four women have been sexually assaulted. And I know that there are men out there that have also experienced that. So I just want to pray for your listeners. If you have at any point experienced that, Lord, I just ask that you would bring healing. I know that you are the great physician, and you're not just a physician of bodies. You're a physician of hearts and soul and emotion. And I pray that if there is someone out there hearing my story today and they have experienced something like what I experienced, that you would just bring healing to them and peace and revelation that you are with them at all times. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you, Father, for your church, and thank you for the privilege of being your hands and feet in the world. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us as the church to do what you would have us to do in raising up ministries to the homeless. So often, Father, we in the church sometimes look at the problem and it may appear overwhelming, but Lord, you love each and every one of these individuals. They're precious to you. You died on the cross for every single one of them. Help us, Lord, as the church, to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you want us to see and hear. And help us to do whatever it is that you're calling us to do, to minister to these precious individuals, to help share the gospel with them, to help them get on their feet and do and be what you'd have them to be. And Lord, you're so wise. You already know the plan you have. Our job is to listen to you and do what you direct us as your hands and feet in this world to do. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Pastor Kelly, you mentioned that you in prison, you did basically pray, you cried out to the Lord and received Christ, got saved while you were in jail on one of these occasions, correct?
Yes, yes. And I began to go to church. And I think I shared this with your listeners before. I, of course, had no home at the time. So I would walk every Sunday to a church. And I wanted people to, I didn't really know who Jesus was. I just knew that I needed to cry out to him. And so I would go into church and I would hope somebody would speak to me and tell me about who Jesus was. And sometimes I would cry openly because I wanted someone to speak to me. And unfortunately, after doing that for several months, nobody spoke to me, and I went to different churches all around town. I ended up at a Baptist church in the middle of the town that I was living in at the time. And when the pastor wasn't there to speak to me, I went during the day. I thought, oh, if I don't go on a Sunday, perhaps I'll talk to a pastor. And the pastor wasn't there, and the door was locked of the church. And I laid on the steps in the front of the busiest street in town and just cried my eyes out. And it wasn't too long after that that I ended up at a church, and I really believe it was the plan of God to get me to this particular church that had a discipleship program and a Bible school. And they had something else that was so essential to my turnaround in Christ, and that was a person who genuinely reached out to me, not that she was better than me, not that I was less of a human being than she was, but she connected with me, and she wanted to hear my story, and she invited me to her Bible study, and she prayer walked with me, and she met with me, and that connection brought me into a revelation that Christ really was a part of my life and that I could go in a different direction. And it's so important. I think about this a lot. I call what a lot of Christians do out on the streets peanut butter and jelly theology. And that is, let me explain, in my town, a lot of churches go out handing out sandwiches and food to the homeless, but they don't really connect. They don't spend time. They don't hear stories. They don't sit down and talk to people about who Jesus is and hear that other person's experiences. And I tell you what, that genuineness and that connection, oh, there is power in that. There is power. And if you share Jesus in those moments, you'll see people turn to him. I've seen it over and over again, and I'm a witness to it in my own life.
Mm. So taking time to really listen to the story of an individual, their heartache, their unique journey is one way that helps to open their heart to hear and receive the gospel then. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And I practice it in my own time with young women that I meet. I walk with drug addicts. I prayer walk a lot still. It's a habit of mine from my homeless days. I still spend a lot of time praying and walking. And I'll meet with young women and whether they're on heroin or methamphetamines, and I'll connect with them and hear their stories. And I shared a little bit with you about the trauma that I went through. Some of these women's stories are incredible. I met with a young woman once that was living under a tunnel. She woke up with rats chewing on her, and she got to a gospel mission, a Union Gospel mission, and got housing. I hearing her story, she was sold into prostitution from the time she was 3 years old throughout her life by her own parents. So people need to know that we care, that we love them. And that love comes from Jesus. And that love he gave us, we can share with them.
Pastor Kelly, would you take time specifically to pray for homeless women? Obviously, homelessness is a difficult thing for anyone, but especially for women. Would you just pray whatever's on your heart for the need for the church to really reach out to the homeless as a whole, but especially to women?
So, Lord, I thank you that you are sovereign and you see the hearts of everyone. And I pray specifically for the women out there that are living on the streets. I hesitate to use the word homeless because in you there is a home. There's always a home in you. And they're truly homeless are the ones that don't know you. So, Lord, I pray for you to come into the hearts of those that are in need of your ministry and your love and your passion for them. And I pray for those women that need healing out there, Lord, that you would bring them the truth that you are that great physician that will bring healing to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And you also mentioned, too, that like in the midst of during your time of being homeless, that you used I don't remember exactly how you phrased it, but sometimes the homeless can be a little bit scary, and that shouldn't stop the church from doing our job by any means, but it's a reality. Would you speak to that a little bit more?
Certainly. So as I traveled from church to church, and when I say travel, I mean I walked miles to get to church on a Sunday, I was very scary looking. It was pretty obvious that I was using drugs. I wasn't dressed in the nicest of clothes. I was a little bit dirty. I didn't look that great. And I know that that probably kept a lot of people away from me. It's interesting that I knew two things about Jesus as I would walk from church to church, and it's kind of a funny story now. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so I didn't grow up with Bible stories, but I knew this song by Dolly Parton called The Coat of Many Colors. I thought that was about Jesus somehow, and I knew the Lord's Prayer. And I would sing that song and pray that prayer as I walked from church to church. I know that people were intimidated about talking to me. And to this day, I sometimes have to overcome that fear factor that you have inside when you approach someone that you've never met before, especially somebody in difficult circumstances. But I've received more welcome than I have rejection when I have reached out to people. So I want to encourage your listeners, if they're out there, that I get that there's a lot of mental illness out there. There's some scary people living on the streets. And I don't advocate walking up to everyone, but when the Lord leads you to talk to someone, he's in it. And I would encourage you to try to make connections wherever you can, especially when somebody walks in your church that so needs to be welcomed and loved in those circumstances.
Well, again, appreciate you just sharing just your wisdom and insight, because again, the reality of homelessness seems to be kind of pretty much all over the place. Big cities, little cities, small towns, you have homeless people. And the fact is, Jesus died for every single one of them. And so we, the church, should prayerfully just seek to listen to the Lord and discern the ways we can love and help people in those circumstances, as opposed to just saying, well, I don't know what to do, and just forgetting it. You know, we need to represent Christ very, very well. So, but if you'll continue to share, just once you came to know Christ and you began to be discipled through that particular congregation, then by the grace of God, you saw the Holy Spirit begin to really get your life back on track then, right?
Absolutely. And the key, for me at least, wasn't Bible school, although I did attend 3 years of Bible school. It was a little home group of women that met every single week, and all with various problems. I was the homeless girl. There was a woman who had an addiction to food. She was 300-400 pounds. There was a woman who had a troubled marriage. There was a young woman who had experienced abuse from her husband. We all had different issues, and I got to see that we each have problems. And when we gather to learn about Christ and we focus on him, good things happen. And of course, a lot of prayer. I spent a lot of time in prayer. And, you know, prayer walking became, I speak it so casually, so many people don't understand what I'm saying when I say prayer walking. But essentially, I've memorized probably more chapters than I couldn't count them all. I have, in fact, I'm working on the entire book of Romans right now. I can recite it to you from memory. Mm-hmm. I pray and I walk and I speak scripture. And when I was homeless, I did that in the streets where I was living. And I sincerely believe it brings you into conversation with God as you meditate his thoughts mm-hmm. and you think about who he is and you ask him questions about the word. There's nothing more powerful than that, nothing more powerful. And I went from being homeless to now employed full-time by the Washington State Legislature. It's miraculous how all of that came about. It's amazing what God can do if you will trust him and you just focus on him. And so if there's listeners out there that wonder what prayer is all about, I've read all the books on prayer. I love reading books on prayer, especially the people from the 18th century, 19th century that were, I call them prayer ninjas. But I will tell you what, meditating on God's word, entering into a conversation with him, even Matthew chapter 1, I could go on a prayer walk today and recite that prayer and with tears in my eyes, ask God to reveal to me even deeper revelation about what that family of God is and how I am blessed to be a part of it. Mm. So
We're going to cut off right there. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne. We'll be right back. Music of Mercy Me with The Hurt and The Healer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a Kingdom Warrior for Christ. And Pastor Kelly, you are going to share a word of prayer. And also, if someone listening is wanting to be in touch with you or to get some of the prayer tools or discipleship tools that you've shared, after you pray, would you tell them how they can email you?
Absolutely. I will share my email address after this prayer. I was sharing earlier about meditating on God's word, and it's so much more than memorizing. It's saturating yourself in God's thoughts, and it's not easy to memorize a whole chapter. I've had some of them take me months of prayer to wrestle with them, to get them in my heart, but it's more importantly getting it from my mind to my heart. And so one of the prayers that I have memorized and I pray often in sermons is a prayer that's attributed to St. Patrick, in fact, who was a great prayer warrior And that's the prayer I want to pray for your listeners right now,
okay,
because it's such a powerful prayer. It's a little bit long, but if you would indulge me, I'm going to go ahead and pray it right now.
Yes, go right ahead.
So, Lord, we arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness and confession of the oneness of the Creator of all creation. We arise today through the strength of Christ's birth and his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion and his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, and through the strength of Jesus Christ's descent for the judgment day. We arise today through the strength of the love of cherubim, and the obedience of angels, and the service of archangels, and the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, predictions of prophets, preaching of apostles, faith of confessors, and the innocence of holy virgins. We arise today through the strength of God's heavens, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depth of the sea, stability of the earth, and the firmness of rock. We arise today through God's strength to pilot us, God's might to uphold us, God's wisdom to guide us, God's eye to look before us, God's ear to hear us, God's word to speak for us, God's way to lie before us, God's shield to protect us, and God's host to save us from snares of demons, from temptations and vices, from everyone who would wish us ill, afar and anear, alone or in multitude. We summon today all the powers of heaven between us and those evils, against every cruel and merciless power that opposes our bodies and souls, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against crafts of idolatry, against spells of witches and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul. Jesus Christ, to shield us today from poison, from burning, from drowning, from wounding, that there would come to us an abundance of reward. Jesus Christ with us. Jesus Christ before us. Jesus Christ in us. Jesus above us. Jesus to our right. Jesus to our left. Jesus when we sit down. Jesus when we lie down. And Jesus Christ when we arise. Jesus in the heart of every man who thinks of us. Jesus in the mouth of everyone who speaks of us. Jesus in the eye of everyone who sees us. Every ear that hears us. We arise today through that mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, belief in the threeness, confession of the oneness of the Creator of all creation. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Very, very powerful. Thank you for taking the time to share that. Yes, would you share, if someone is wanting to be in touch with you and would like to maybe receive some of the prayer tools or discipleship tools that you use or that you're familiar with, would you share an email?
Certainly. So I've worked for many years with homeless women. I also have a special interest in helping women to choose life instead of abortion. I preach at several churches here in Washington State when I'm invited to do so. And if anybody wants any information about that or even tips on how you can approach somebody who's in a difficult circumstance, maybe on the streets, maybe you're a little intimidated about talking to them, happy to help you. My email address is the number 7, and my first name, Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, make sure you put that E-Y in there, and then my middle name, Grace, 7kellygrace@gmail.com.
Okay. All righty then. And you mentioned that you also are involved with pro-life outreach as well. Would you share with our listeners a little bit more about that and any words of encouragement that you'd like to share with others about getting involved with the life issue?
Certainly. So I have a strong interest in the pro-life movement. I didn't start out pro-life. I was very much on the other side of it when I was living in Washington, D.C. I used to march in all the parades that were pro-abortion and do all those things that I thought made me so wise. But now that I know Jesus, I know better. Teaching in the jails and the prisons, I encounter many women are pregnant in jail and prison. I'm not sure if your listeners are aware of that. In fact, 7 out of 10 women in prison today are of the age where they can be pregnant. So a lot of those women have difficult choices, and I try to encourage them to choose life. That is a very particular ministry of mine, because God is the nurturer of life and the creator of life. And I often think, God didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to work for him and to fight the good fight. And we have to be those that reach out and help those, to encourage them and to bless them and to do everything we can to help them. So, yes, that's a huge part of my ministry work.
Would you pray for listeners to really seek the Lord about what he'd have each one of us to do in the, with regards to standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion?
Certainly. There's a scripture that always comes to mind when I think about this, and it's, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And Lord, I know that your light shines in your people, and we are the treasury of heaven. And so I pray for every listener out there that has an opportunity to witness the truth of how precious life is and how good life is, and those that are called by your name, that they would give up those things that are comfortable, and even if it is kind of hard or difficult, that they would reach out to those in need, those that especially, and I'm not just women, but men as well, that need to understand your word on life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And so, Pastor Kelly, as far as the work that you do, again, you're involved with evangelism, discipleship, you ministered the homeless, you minister to drug addicts, you are involved with the pro-life cause as well. You're a busy person. I'm just one last moment of prayer. Would you pray for listeners to listen to the Lord about his specific call on their lives, in that, because everyone has an important place. We all have a part to play in the work of building God's kingdom. We need to hear from God for ourselves to know where we're to plug in. Would you pray for that, please?
Certainly. Lord, everyone in your kingdom has an occupation, and you have defined the boundaries of their work. And sometimes I believe that, Lord, many people out there know that they are called, but they need this one added ingredient, and that's the courage to live that calling. And so, Lord, I pray that not only would you reveal that calling to them, but that you would give them the courage to live it out. And, Lord, that can only be through your divine help. So we pray for that, Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit to flow through your people, to be your hands and feet, and to do those things that you have set before them to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Kelly, for being with us today. One more time, if someone would like to email you, share your email address again, please.
Sure. It's the number 7. And my first name, K-E-L-L-E-Y, Kelly Grace at gmail.com. So 7 Kelly Grace at gmail.com.
All right. Father, we thank you for Pastor Kelly Payne. Thank you for the work you've called her to in the capacity where she works, working in government. But also, Lord, thank you for the many ministries you've called her to as she ministers to drug addicts, as she ministers to the homeless, as she's involved in the great work of evangelism and discipleship, and the work of standing for life and against abortion. Lord, more and more, help us to recognize, Lord, that our job is to listen to your word, to listen to your spirit, and do what you call each of us to do. And Lord, in view of the fact that there's so much work to be done, there's so many people who've been beat up and left on the side of the road, half dead, and you call us, like the Good Samaritan, to be your hands and feet in a world full of people on the side of the road who are half dead. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you want us to hear and see. And help us to be a people that are full of compassion, who are wide open to you, and who live with a yes, Lord, attitude. Whatever you're calling us to do, help us to recognize, Lord, that amongst other things, you always call us to love people. You call us to love people enough to share the gospel with them, to love them enough to help disciple them, to help them to grow up in their faith. You call us to love people enough to help them realize their biggest need in all of life is for Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we walk down the road of life and see the many, many needs around us, help us to live with a heart and eyes and ears wide open to whatever you're calling us to do. Thank you for the chance to be your hands and feet in this world. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. And Lord, set us on fire with a passion to simply be about your business every day of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we do invite you, please pray much for our guest, Pastor Kelly Payne, as she continues to allow the Lord to use her, working in government, but also working in ministry, just loving people in her community as well. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us and commit your life to Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, thank you for loving me that much. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent of the wrong I've done. Forgive me for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.